You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us for this 11th day of June 2014 is Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And this morning, the United States Department of Agriculture released updated WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. These are the supply and demand figures for corn and soybeans, and a crop production number that came from USDA NAS for wheat. Let's start with the one that changed, because really, not a lot of changes happened in the corn or soybeans. Just one little tiny thing, but we'll take that up in a bit. So let's start with the wheat pit and what happened and what those numbers look like for crop production.
Well, you know, when you looked at the bigger picture on the wheat side, we of course lost about 21 million bushels in estimated production. You would have thought that that would have drawn us down, but it did not. They actually lowered the feed usage, they lowered the crush, and we ended up adding 34 million bushels to the carryout on the U.S. level. And then when you look at the world level, you know, in the month of May, there were some very beneficial rains all across the world, and so we saw some significant changes in estimates for Russia and places like that. And, you know, that ended up pushing our world wheat numbers even higher to a 27% level. We've seen them higher than that, but it really wasn't expected. And then when you looked at the rest of the world numbers, corn being higher, beans being higher, it kind of overshadowed anything else that happened here at the U.S. level.
One little item on the beans. USDA has lowered the carryout for soybeans for this year by 5 million bushels. It's now at 125 million compared to the May at 130. I suppose the trade was kind of in that range anyway.
They were in 127 is what they were. So it was actually lower than what they expected. On the opposite side, when you look at the 325 on next year's, that was higher than what the average guess was. And you know, when you looked at the average guess was 319. That would have given us about a 12% stocks-to-use ratio, basically, in general. And one of the highest stocks-to-use ratios we've seen since 2006, you know. So it makes for a pretty tough sell. But they didn't make many changes at all. And they kept the price the same at $10.75 for new crop and $13.10 for old crop. So, you know, the bean, I think we'll see some divergence between old crop and new crop, even more than what we've got at this stage of the game.
Okay, well, we'll have Daryl Good along in a moment. We'll take more up about some of these numbers from the CME Group in Chicago. But let's get to the trade for the day, because it turned kind of ugly through the day. There were lots of things that were happening other than the USDA reports. In fact, things on the Chinese front for DDGs and sorghum and, oh, I don't know. Pick your topic and start in with
it. Start anywhere, right? Well, I would describe the market today. It reminds me of me when I used to go to a lake to go swimming. You stick your toes in, you know, and you kind of pull back. You stick your toes in again. Well, that's the way the market looked for the majority of the day. Should we go lower? Oh, no, we'll go a little lower, we'll pull back. No, then we'll go a little bit lower, then we'll pull back. And finally, they decided to jump in. And then we really took a dive for a while there. And corn came back fairly nice at the end of the day. Beans came back, you know, and even wheat came back from where it was in the Chicago market. So I think in general, you know, I'm not sure that much of that was really related to the report. I think more of it is just related to the attitude now about what's going to happen going down the road. But we've been dogged in the corn market by the idea that China's probably going to not issue any more DDG permits. And, you know, nobody knows for sure if that's the truth. But if it is, it's not a good situation. One of the things that would give me some, well, I guess I would probably buy into it a little more, is that when you look at their sorghum imports from us, last year they imported a whopping 3,376 tons. So far for this crop year, they've taken 2.5 million metric tons. That's a huge change, and so I would think that that's perhaps becoming an alternate feed for them. When you look at their imports on all commodities, we're really down hard in May, but still up, you know, year over year. So there's still support there from that standpoint. But, you know, China is a strange bunch of dudes. You know, when you look at beans yesterday, they came in and they priced all their open and unshipped beans yesterday, and that really gave the market a big tick up. So you just don't know what to expect from them. And then you look at Russia. You know, they're fighting with Ukraine like crazy. They're demanding that Ukraine do prepayments for all their gas or they're going to cut their supplies off. And, you know, this is coming at a time when Ukraine's peso is just I mean, their currency is in very bad shape, and we know now that they're going to have less corn production and possibly less production all the way across, but not as significant as what the trade was basically putting in at the beginning. So there's just so many things going on. Argentina, I tell you, Todd, you look at Argentina, that place is a mess. They still are arguing with the Paris Club about their debt. You know, Paris Club is that group of governments that lends money. They're demanding that Argentina repay them the $10 billion. U.S., Germany, and Japan actually hold $6.5 billion as of 2012 out of that $10 billion. And it's coming at the cost of investments. Billions of investments have left since Cristina became president in 2007 because of her crazy government spending. And, you know, they currently can't get any credit, insurance, no loan guarantees, financing from export agencies at all. And so they've got to get this thing taken care of and so that they can get back in the market. And, you know, their peso has lost 50% since 2012. That's serious. But we do have a presidential election coming up next year. So, you know, will Cristina get back in? Well, it depends upon how crooked they really are. But the overall thing is the implications for corn and bean sales. You know, they're expecting Argentina to have a larger corn crop next year, and yet we know for a fact, you know, they just haven't been bringing much grain out onto the marketplace. And so for us, it has a direct impact on competition. And so there's just so many other things going on.
Yeah, so one of the other things, come back here to home, because things are changing, I think, a little bit. Maybe talk about crop conditions in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt. This is a part of the Corn Belt where they really still need to be able to put a crop in the ground.
Well, that's true, and you know, it's really tough when you get to this time of year because, you know, we were 97% planted last week. That they didn't have a planting progress report this week, so no one really knows technically how much was planted. In talking to guys, though, in South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota in the last number of days, they did make some really good progress. In fact, some of the guys are telling me that some of the corn is looking pretty darn good. But I talked to one of the guys up in Minnesota. I asked him how come the crop ratings on corn fell in Minnesota, and he said the frost is finally heaving their gravel roads. And so the frost is finally coming out. So he said at the immature corn level, it's extremely cold, and that's why the corn looks pretty yellow. But he expects that's going to straighten itself out. So, you know, it's going to be a guess until we get into the end of the month as to, you know, just how much we've lost. But one of the things that I think we have to keep in mind, you know, the corn condition ratings in Iowa are 30% better than they were last year at this time. That's pretty significant, even though condition ratings are very subjective. You know, here in this part of the world, we're like 16% better. So, you know, I do have an Eastern Corn Belt guy that I talked to today, and, you know, he said this cold, dreary weather is due to the Great Lakes freezing over, mm-hmm. and that they expected it, which I guess I hadn't really given that any kind of a thought at all. But their crop is growing. They just have such dreary weather. And I think ultimately, you know, if we don't get sunshine, it won't hurt corn nearly as much as it's going to hurt beans. And so, you know, that'll be the next thing that we're talking about unless we can get out of this pattern of cloudiness all of the time. But ethanol's really kind of dogging the whole complex, too, on corn from a pressure standpoint because we now need 103.8 million bushels a week to reach that 5.05 billion that the USDA is still hanging on to. So, you know, there's a lot of things that could change as we go down the road here.
Hey, I got to let you go, but thanks for being with us today. We'll talk with you again on Wednesday next week.
Thank you, Todd. Have a good one.
You too. That is Jackie Beck. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.